Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
President Obama is trying to gain some momentum in his argument about health care reform, maybe dispel a few of those myths himself. He's now hoping to get some support from the pulpits of America. He's gotten some religious leaders to help him push his health care package. We're joined by two leaders who are going to be part of a meeting with the president next week. We've got Reverend Jennifer Butler. She's a Presbyterian minister and executive director of Faith in Public Life that's helped leading this charge. Also, Rabbi David Saperstein from the Religious Action Center for Reform Judaism. Welcome to you both. Jennifer, how do you make healthcare a moral issue?
Well, it's very easy, actually. If you look at the great religious traditions, they all call for us to take care of the most vulnerable in society and to look out for the poor and the widow among us. In terms of my faith, Christianity, when Jesus spoke about his mission and what he had been called to do, he stood up in the temple and read from the scripture and said that I've come to bring good news to the poor, sight to the blind, freedom to the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of God's favor. To me, it's very clear that as moral leaders and as faith leaders, we have a responsibility to work for systems that can address the needs of all people around us, from the poor to the very wealthy.
But David, it seems to me like the devil's in the details. There's nothing in the Torah about palliative care or dialysis or, you know, joint reconstruction. What happens when you start getting down to the details of the bills? How do you turn that into a moral argument as opposed to a political argument?
What there is in Scripture are certain moral norms that we, our God-given wisdom, can use to apply to them. So in the Jewish tradition, God is talked about as a healer, and we're told we should heal as God heals. God is described as of visiting the sick and being with the sick, and we're told we should do that as well. By the time of the Talmud 2,000 years ago, that had developed into healthcare systems and rules and requirements to provide adequate healthcare for all people. Any community that wanted to be considered a moral community had to provide healthcare, had to provide healthcare providers. These are not new ideas. So the fundamental values that underlie the call for a universal system, an accessible system, an affordable system, an effective system, that resonates with 3,000 years of the Abrahamic traditions.
How do you keep a discussion of that, though, David, from becoming a charge that if you're opposed to health care reform or opposed to government sort of taking responsibility for health care reform, that you're actually wanting your neighbor to be sick?
Good moral people can differ on the best way to go about achieving universal health care. That isn't what this debate has been about, unfortunately. This has been a very disturbing debate in terms of the civility of discourse in America here. And when people make these extraordinary accusations and allusions to fascism and Nazism and the Holocaust, what they're doing is try to take these ideas outside the free marketplace of ideas, John, here. So good moral people can differ. What almost all of the major faith traditions shares is the goal to get as quickly as possible to universal, affordable, accessible health care.
Jennifer, you know, there was a recent Pew study out showing that for the first time in maybe a dozen years, the majority of Americans want religion out of politics. And how do you avoid the charge that you are bringing religion even further into politics by getting involved in this healthcare debate?
I think what those poll numbers show is that people are very concerned about increasing partisanship in religion. They're concerned about the impact that has on faith, and they're concerned about the impact that that has on democracy. I don't think that people are concerned when it comes to faith leaders respecting one another's faith and entering into public discourse, lifting up moral norms from their religious traditions and having a civilized debate about policies and about moral norms that ought to apply to the way that we run this country.
Okay, Reverend Jennifer Butler is a Presbyterian minister, executive director of Faith in Public Life, and Rabbi David Saperstein, director of Religious Action Center of Reform Judaism.